Hi everyone, you all are welcome back. So in chapter 2, we spoke about scheduling, some of the good practices of scheduling, some of the challenges which may affect on scheduling, how scheduling is very important. In this chapter, we are going to have a deep dive on project planning. Remember, I mentioned in my first chapter that how planning is very important. If you plan well, you're bound to have a success, and if you don't spend enough amount of time in planning, then you might end up into surprises. In this chapter, we are going to speak a little bit more on the project planning per se, some of the repetition on the scheduling, because it is going to impact your planning, how the difference, or what are the difference between the project planning and scheduling is. Remember, they are different, and we are going to speak about it. And then what are the type of various scheduling which might have to do? We might have to do the scheduling depending on the milestone. We might have to prepare a very larger or a high level schedule, which will have the very high level timelines supporting the other activities. And you might also have a very segmented timelines of the milestone wise or probably the specific activity wise. Then how and what are the benefits of the project planning and scheduling? And then we'll also speak about some of the limitations of this planning and scheduling. Remember, everything will have its own challenges. Remember, everything will also have their own limitations, but it is the effectiveness of the project manager to have or to drive the project seamlessly. Let's talk about them in one after another. So project management, generally the plan and schedules are very, very critical. I'm sure all of you are aware by now, because if you are not scheduling very well, then obviously your resources are not mapped, they are not going to be available, and because of which you might derail your timelines. Planning and scheduling goes hand in hand, but they are different. Okay, how they are different, that we are going to speak about it. Project planning is basically a complete formal document which will have an approval. Now this document will have what? This document will have the complete work, or I would say the scope. What are the areas which is going to be covered as a part of this particular project? It will have some of the underlying schedules, maybe a high level schedules, maybe a baseline schedules. What could be a baseline schedules? I would say the baseline schedule would be for 5 months. This project I'm going to execute, and the duration of the project is 5 months. Now 5 months could start from January, or the five month can start from May. That will go into your scheduling. Then it will tell you some of the assumptions which you're making. It will, so project planning will also tell you about some of the budgets, some of the out of the pocket expenses, some of the stakeholders involvement, and so on and so forth. Your planning will also involve the developing of some of the architectural document, some of the planning document, maybe some of the blueprints, or maybe some of the sequence of work which might be related into your project. So in a nutshell, your project planning would basically give the great amount of idea to the project manager to identify the need of the project. Basically, why are you doing the project? What are the problems which you're trying to solve with this particular project? Address them well in advance as a part of the complete project management document. And your project plan would also help in a larger extent to give a little bit of a roadmap with the task of the sequences right from the beginning to an end to the project manager. Your project plan is very important from the documentary standpoint, because somebody, if you are going to get reviewed, you will be reviewing the project plan, right? So that's how the importance of the project plan is. What it includes, it includes all of these things mentioned here. Why an organization have to have this project in the first place? Is there an existing problem I'm trying to solve? Connecting back the examples, I want to have the network-wide upgrade. Why am I doing it? Is that a user is facing an issue on the slowness? And because the users are facing issue on slowness, are they reporting the lower CSAT survey? Or if my users are traveling so much so and losing the laptop so much frequently, and I'm ending up losing my data so much frequently, I probably would like to have the BitLocker as a project. What does it need? What are the benefit? What are the business benefit the organization is going to get? If it is a security project, can I reduce my attacks by so-and-so? Can I reduce my ransomware amount from so-and-so? Can I eliminate any of the gaps from so-and-so? Can I remove my audit observation by so-and-so? Can I have the user satisfaction index improved so-and-so? Can I have the cost reduction so-and-so? Basically, what are the benefits I'm going to have? What are the project's major deliverables or the product going to be? Am I going to make an app or a mobile app which is going to give a seamless experience? Or if I am into the brick and mortar establishment and if I want to go digital, because I'll probably want to also capture the market of the online users or probably the millennials. Can that help me by moving onto the digitization track? What all parties, which all functions, which all team members, which all external partners are going to be involved in this particular project? What is my scope? Basically, my areas of boundaries. What are the major milestones I want to achieve? What is the financial requirement I might have? What is my CapEx requirement? What is going to be my OpEx requirement, which is going to be year on year? And what would be my end date of completion of the project? These elements should be and must be a part of your project planning document. Furthermore, is there any technology which I'm going to use? Why I'm changing the technology? Am I obsolete already, or am I on a risk, and am I going to reduce the risk, etc., etc., right? So these are some of the documents which I would prefer to have it as a part of your project planning document, supported by your project schedule. We just spoke about it in the chapter 2 on what exactly the project schedule is. Your project schedule will necessarily have the timelines, the exact concrete timelines, along with the activity which you're going to do as a part of the project. Your project, remember, will have the dates, or your project schedule will have dates according to your activities, also according to the milestones which you have agreed between the partner and between the you. Your project schedule is typically a graphical representation. Most of the time, it is generally the Microsoft project. People use it. There are other good means of having it demonstrated in a much better way, in a much graphical way. We'll be speaking about them. But remember that your project schedule will have some of the graphical representation. Your project schedule will also have an activities, and it will define the sequence which we spoke about it. But if you really have to see the difference between planning and scheduling, the differences are right here. Let's have a brief touch base on them. If you talk about the planning is generally would define the broader scope of work. Whereas in case of your scheduling, it will more focus on the sequence of events. Obviously, your scheduling is going to support your project planning anyways, but the planning in a nutshell is a larger generic topic. Planning identifies your deliverables. However, your scheduling will assign the resources to perform that task to achieve that deliverable. Your planning will have a breakdown structure. Basically, it will identify all the activities. And in your scheduling, it will show what are the planned dates, or what are the schedules which are going to be associated with those activities. Your planning will determine the dependencies, estimate the task durations, and also develop the project schedule and monitor the project as a part of the overall overarching structure. And if you talk about scheduling, it will be more specific and show the sequence. It will show the critical path or maybe the very important tasks which you are going to implement. And also, it will kind of determine the project progress vis-a-vis the schedule which we have planned. These are the basic difference between the planning and the scheduling. We are going to have a recap, a quick recap on what the scheduling was, and then we'll move on to the planning. So in the project schedule, there will be a various type of the project schedule you might require. Now, for a simple project, it's okay to have a very basic calendar defined and just track those activities with the start and with the finish date. But when you are running a very complicated project or a complex project, remember there may be several activities which is going in parallel. And you may want to set up some of the alerting mechanism. Maybe some proactive alerting would be a better idea. Maybe some of the activity which your respective stakeholders are expected to do. Maybe you want to send out reminders. Maybe if the person is not going to be available, maybe you want to document it and so on and so forth. Because at the end of the day, you have to meet or you have to stick onto those project schedules. And that's why you need to have those project schedules as per the three common segments I would define as. One is something called as a master schedule. Master schedule is somewhat similar to your project planning larger timeline window. But here is, especially when you are dealing with the project schedules, it will have very high level summarized schedule. High level summarized schedule would be say that from the start of the project, you will say that within 30 days, you will do X milestone. Within next 60 days, you will achieve further two milestones and so on and so forth. Your master schedule will include all the details of the project and the plan, and it can be summarized in a way, in an executable summary way, and can be of a one-pager document and can be shareable with your senior leadership. That's a master project schedule. Furthermore, on the master schedule, because it has the outcome of your subsequent other schedules. And when I say it has an outcome of subsequent other schedules, it becomes very crucial. Now, when I say it, why it is crucial? Because remember that it is a crux or it is a gist of all the other tasks which you are documenting in the milestone-based schedules. It is also helpful when you want to really brainstorm in a larger room of a people where you want to just widely discuss why the project initiation would take so much of time, why the planning would take so much of time, why the specific activity on the higher level would take so much of time. Like how other scheduling document, your master scheduling document is also a living document which should be flexible to change as and when need, right? Because remember that you have an underlying documents which may affect your master document or your master scheduling, and your master scheduling might also have to undergo a change. By now we know that it is very essential document for the senior leadership. You want to make it in a crisp and a summarized communication way to the senior leadership to highlight the timelines. Then, it also helps in giving a bird eye or the eagle's eye view to your project manager that yes, we are going on the track because we are actually meeting the master schedule, which indirectly means that we are also meeting the underlying subschedules. Master schedule will enable the critical path analysis. So remember, what was the critical path is the path where some of the activities are non-negotiable. They have to be completed and they cannot be dropped. So when you talk about the master schedule, you are actually factoring and you're focusing on those critical path line items, and hence you are able to target them, you are able to monitor them effectively. Your master schedule, by nature, it will provide you some of the cost in check, some of the time in check, because you are overall looking at the stuff. And it will also help you in identifying some of the risk assessment. Maybe it will give you a nest of an idea that yes, you are going off the track, and because you are going off the track, the partner is not going to be available if you are going to meet or if you are going to breach this particular timeline, right? So this is something on the master schedule. Moving a step below there on the milestone-based schedule. Your summarized pattern is a project plan. Your further detailing would be in a master schedule. Your further detailing would be in a milestone, and your further would be into your task-based. So after having a deep dive onto the larger schedule, let's talk about milestone level. Milestone, as we all know, that it is the group of activities which is clubbing together and becomes as a milestone. When you are tracking the milestone specific schedule, it will probably give you the overview that all the necessary interim tasks are completed or in progress or in line as per the expectations. Remember that one milestone may have, and there is no thumb rule that one milestone should have how many sub activities. Depending on your project complexity, you can have 5 sub activities, you can have 50 sub activities to achieve that particular milestone. Now, this particular milestone schedule will actually give you an assurance that all the underlying activities are going as per the schedule because you're meeting the target date of your milestone. This schedule will allow the project manager and team leads to review and identify all the milestones. So basically, if anybody wants to just monitor the milestone, and if they are not really bothered about the underlying sub-activities, they can just refer to this particular schedule and they can actually deal with it. Your milestone schedules are generally provides the status report or a summarized report to again the mid management or the external stakeholders. Your external stakeholders may not be necessarily required to be given the internal task based activity, because remember that the internal activities may be a combination of some other external partner, your own internal activities, and may also be some of the other external partners, and you're clubbing them together and making one milestone there. So even if you are providing the milestone based status to your one of the external partner, that should suffice the need. Now, what are the benefits of the milestone schedules? Some of the benefits, I'm sure you have realized it already, that that if the milestone, one of the milestone is not meeting the target date, it's an assumption and it's an underlying fact that underlying activity has breached the timeline, and hence this particular milestone has been breached. Milestone, if somebody is monitoring only milestone calendars or milestone schedules, while just reviewing the milestone calendars, they can come to know that I think that the situation is going off the track and maybe it will be a good idea to intervene. It is visually appealing format because you have a lesser amount of line items. So say for example, there is a project which includes 50 such activities, and for 50 such activities, there are only 9 milestones. It is always a good idea and it always feels good factor if you're reviewing the 9 activities and not all 50 activities. So it gives the better visibility to the senior leadership. What is supporting the milestone schedule? Obviously, the detailed project schedule. Now, the detailed project schedule will definitely have the each and every activity and the timelines associated with it. Generally, the executors or the ones who are implementing the project, they generally refer this detailed project schedule because they are the one who are going to execute all these line items. For them, it becomes very, very critical. And this schedule or this detailed project schedule will have all the detailing up to the leaf level, right? Because that is where, as I said always, and I like to repeat that statement, is rubber hits the road. And the benefit obviously is because it is so very granular that the respective team members would be in a position to right size, determine and come to know that this is what is kind of affecting, or this will be affecting the milestone, the overall milestone, if I'll fail this particular activity, right? So really very important, though it's very detailing, though there are so many line items associated with it, but it gives a very handy guide to the implementers or to the ones who are executing the task. Okay. Now, having all these, I mean, obviously the curious question would be, why do I need to have all these schedules? Why I need to always run on a tight rope? Okay. Remember that you have been hired as a project manager to deliver something within the time, within the scope, within the budget, and within the resources you have. And because there are so many limitations, you need to schedule it very well. You need to plan very well. It helps you in motivation as well, which means that if you are aware that this is what is expected from you today, or this is what is expected from you in this 5 days or 5 working days, and if you're completing those activities, you have an inner satisfaction. You know for sure that yes, I am on right track, I'll be able to complete what I have committed it. You'll also be able to guide your team member, coach your team member that yes, this is what is, I think something is not going right. Maybe you would like to do it this way. Each item here in this project planning and scheduling would actually represent the success criteria or the failure criteria of every project, right? So it becomes very important that you are referring it and living and making that as a living document. Your project planning and document obviously would help you prioritize some of the tasks which are very critical in nature. Now, prioritization is very important, guys, because today you are not only doing one project. You are also handling operations. You are also handling multiple projects at the same time. You are handling the team. You are also handling some of the critical activities. You are going on a training. You are traveling. You are doing some other personal stuff. And there's so many things you are engaged. If you do not prioritize, and obviously you will not be able to deliver on what is expected. So your project planning and scheduling, if it is done better, if it is done well, you will really appreciate how it helps on the prioritization. You know for sure that by end of Friday, I was expected to deliver this particular task, which is captured into the dashboard, which senior management is going to ask me on Monday. So, am I done with it? That will help you in prioritizing some of the tasks. Maybe you can sideline some of the other non-critical activity to support this particular task because you have an answer to give to the senior leadership, right? Your prioritization also helps in your other team members so that they can understand the priority of or the severity of this particular task which you are doing. If you are spending enough time and energy onto completing that priority item can then pass on to the other team members for whom also it becomes priority now, and then they can complete the project. Basically, it clearly gives the visibility or a clear visibility to the entire team member that this is what the priority items are. If we fail it, then we'll have to face some of the consequences. And the consequences could be obviously cost, time, resource, budget, whatever. Now, if you have the better planning, obviously you have a better grip on the situation. You are aware and you are not giving the surprises to anybody. And you are yourself also not surprised. Why? Because you can monitor and you can control. If you have, you might have some of the deviations as a process, which is fine as far as the senior manager is accepting it, but you are aware for sure that this is what is going to be helpful if I am achieving this task, and ultimately the end goal is to achieve the desired outcome. I can have the regular comparison that week one, week two, probably I was derailed in week two. Why? Because one of my critical team member was on a vacation to Maldives. Possible, right? So so the point is, if you have the adequate project planning and scheduling, then you are in a better control of your own project situation. So that you are not you're not really slipping on the timelines. Project management is again an art, guys, so it comes with the practice. And you need to have a very seriousness or serious approach to deliver all these tasks right before the time. Eventualities are going to come, some of the derailers or some of the demotivators are going to come along the way. But if it is planned well, then definitely you can envisage the challenges, you can anticipate those challenges, and you can actually overcome those challenges. Finally, some regular scheduling, and this we have discussed it before, that if there are any changes which is going to come, or if there are any challenges which are going to come, or if there are any risks which is going to affect your project in a good way or in a bad way, then it's better that if it is planned well, scheduled well. Your project proper planning and scheduling helps in the communication in a great extent, guys. Communication is very, very helpful. Communication is very important. If you are doing some activities and if you are not communicating to your relevant stakeholders, then probably people would not appreciate your efforts. Right amount of communication, right time of communication can happen only with the project proper planning and proper scheduling. You also have a communication matrix. As a part of the project planning document or project management practices, you also have a detailed communication plans, which has the detailing like, in week one, you will update to this stakeholder. On every fortnight basis, you will update on the CXOs. On every monthly basis, you will update the entire company that this is what the progress is, which is happening, if it is going to affect them. Right? So communication helps, proper planning helps in a better communicating to your audience. And in case anybody has any problems, any discomfort, any issues, they can come back to you, they can report those issues back to you, and they can tell you that, yes, this is what is a problem. Can you do this way? Or this is not happening, this is not going to happen. Your project will fail because this is not the way how it works. Right? So right communication is very important, and your right project scheduling helps there. It also provides the guidelines. Now, how it provides the guidelines? Because your team member might be following some way of working. Right? Again, the piece of the prioritization would come into the play. Okay? Your team member might have the habit of addressing the operational issues at the start of the day. Then in the second half, he or she is starting to work on a project and so on and so forth. Maybe if you have scheduled, if you planned it very well, you can educate your team members saying that, okay, you block your Monday to Wednesday only for this particular project, leave aside the operational task and or give it to someone else. Okay, so that can help in educating your team members accordingly. Finally, cost is everything. If you are, if you have planned it very well, if you have scheduled it very well, you are not looking at the surprises. Imagine that if you are onto a Europe trip and you have planned your travel to move from one city to a different city by a Eurorail network. You have planned it very well, so absolutely you are aware and that at this time you need to reach the station because you have a train to catch for Amsterdam, or you have a train to catch for Prague or Vienna or whatever it is. And if you have that train to catch and if it is planned well, you'll probably not overburden your pockets. But imagine that if you are a solo traveler and if you are ad hocly, you just landed up onto the station and you just saw that, oh, the train has just departed and the next train is only after 4 hours. And the 4 hours after, there is a train which has a higher ticket. Or probably, there is other way of going to the to your destination, but it is probably an option of flight. But flight is expensive, so you are ending up putting more cost, right? So, cutting the long story short, again, your proper planning helps in having the cost in check, and availability mindset readiness towards any uncertainties. uncertainties might come. I gave you the multiple reasons in my past two explanation. There could be multiple uncertainties. Maybe there is a senior leadership change, or maybe there is a mindset change, or maybe your company is acquired by some other company, or maybe there is some pandemic-like situation, or there could be anything. If you have scheduled it very well, if you have factored all the pieces of the puzzles together, then it helps you in navigating it from a rough weather. Okay, moving forward on the stakeholder satisfaction, definitely. I mean, so it's like this: if you have committed someone that I'm going to meet you at so and so time, so imagine an example of you meeting somebody at the Starbucks of a church gate, right? And you are telling them, okay, that I will meet you at 4 p.m. and we'll spend some time together there. Okay, now that's a commitment which you have made to that other person. Now obviously you have to plan it accordingly. If it is Sunday, there probably a lesser amount of trains plying on Mumbai. There may be a lesser traffic, but there, at the same time, there may also be a lesser cabs on the road. If you have not planned it very well, if you have not kept it buffer, you may reach little late and you may disturb the other person, right? Because you reached late and probably you are really not starting your conversation on a good note. Now that is a personal example. If you talk about the professional example where you have committed to your senior leadership, you have given the commitment into a forum in front of CXOs that this is what I'm committing and this is what will happen. And if you fail there, then imagine the problem could be, right? And it will eventually affect your satisfaction level of your CXOs. They will lose trust on you. And it takes a lot of time to gain the trust, but it takes few seconds to lose the trust, right? So that's very important on the stakeholders' satisfaction level. Resources constraint. Now, some of the constraint and limitations for planning and scheduling, which you should be mindful of, specifically the resource constraints. Now resources, as I told you, and we have spoken about it today, is a choice of the people, if you ask me. People are having multiple offer letters these days, right? So maybe if you have envisaged that something is going to join, or someone is going to join you, or maybe you are going to expand your team, or maybe these you are very much rely on the external resources, and what if there is a churn from an external partner side, and what if they are themselves not getting the resources, right? So the point is, if there is a lack of resources, now resource could be a manpower, resource could be a technology, resource could be anything. Remember, because of this this pandemic like situation, because of the lockdown, there was a shortage of the chip worldwide. And because of the shortage of the chip, even the automobile companies are not taking the orders for the new cars. Why? Because they do not have the chip. Your laptops, your desktops, your servers, your switches are getting delayed in dispatches by 6 months, 8 months. Why? Because there are shortage of the chips. Resources. Right, so that is very important, guys, that there may be you may be planning very well, but if there are some resource constraints that may derail your plan. Managerial constraints. Now as you read here, the management factors have a significant impact on the project planning and the scheduling, right? Because maybe some of the downtimes you are asking for, you are not getting it because you have some target set by senior leadership that you have to complete the sale of so and so, and if you have to meet the sales numbers of so and so, you cannot take a downtime during the quarter end. Now that is a constraint which would impact your complete schedule. Now that is again an uncertain thing which you may not envisage all the time, right? And obviously some of the constraint may have an impact on the cost and also the timelines. External constraints. Maybe there is some change in the regulatory terms. India is coming up with the privacy laws. We don't know the impact of the companies which are dealing with the personally identified information. Maybe something or some projects which are in pipeline, which is involving the personally identified information, and these laws, if they're coming abruptly, right, and if the government is not giving enough notice, then in fact that will be derailed. That is not under our control. That's an external constraints we have. Right? Now, these are the constraints which we cannot effectively anticipate. We can anticipate up to certain extent, but not really very effectively. Now, imagine that if you have a project and your project is completely on AI. Now, if there's a project completely on AI and you are going to be relying on the AI tools like a ChatGPT of the world, okay? Now, what if any country bans the usage of ChatGPT, right? There are about 5 to 7 countries who have already banned the usage of a ChatGPT into their land. And if you have an establishment there, probably you are not meeting your schedule and you're not meeting your project. In summary, your project plan is a very essential document. Every senior leadership is going to ask you the project plan, maybe a high level, maybe a detailed level, depending on the senior leadership's vision and the involvement, and also depending on the criticality. So project plan is a very, very essential tool. It basically captures all the nitty-gritties, all the plans, all the involvement of the stakeholders in a great, very detail. If you plan well, you end up delivering it well. So if you're planning it from the start, then you are keeping organization up to date and you are inching towards achieving those goals of an organization in much effective way. Your planning will be a key tool in achieving, as I said, inching towards the success. And finally, if you want to keep your stakeholders happy, if you want to meet up your commitments, the planning is generally of great help. We would end this chapter here, which summarized the need of a planning, the need of a scheduling, how important the scheduling at the milestone level, at the activity level, at the higher level is important. Thank you so much for listening to me.